This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show is past tense, and the last song was Seven Score by the band Golden Star, and is the opening song off of their self-titled EP, which is also their debut release, and released back in January of this year, and one I was really excited about when I listened to it. It's a really terrific album, and it's also kind of exactly to my taste. So I've spent a really long time, pretty much the entirety of this radio show, which I've been running for like 5.5 years, trying to find particularly Canadian music that sounds like that, and honestly, music at large. Especially after the influence of bands like, say, Duster within like the last 5 and 10 years. There are plenty of people that have been inspired by it, but not a ton of people who have done it. Inspired by that type of music. There's obviously a lot more out there within like this broad, vague category of slowcore. But it's pretty rare to hear something of the level of quality of Golden Star, and in particular their debut EP. I've managed to see them live a couple of times because they're local to Montreal, and those are also really great shows. Even more exciting than that is that I actually managed to sit down and do an interview with Marcus Stahl of Golden Star, whose band it is. And that was a lot of fun. That was a really good time, and we talked not only about influences, but also things like venues and kind of the direction that the music is going. That turned out to be a pretty long interview, so it's going to be in two parts on this show, one in this episode, and then part two, hopefully, next week. And then if you want to hear the full uncut thing, which shouldn't be too different from what plays on air, you can go to the CJLO website, and it should be somewhere up there on the main page. So CJLO.com and then Control F Golden Star. Anyway, I'll play another song from Golden Star and then commence with the interview itself. Interestingly, Marcus and I were both at the same show that Duster and Codeine played about a year ago, but we didn't know each other at the time. So that's kind of where the interview starts. As we're kind of discussing how, at least in Montreal, there are seemingly not a ton of people playing music that are in that particular vein, stuff that is slowcore, let's say. So that was pretty cool to talk about, like, who's doing what. Anyway, this first song is Torn a Twain from Golden Star off of their self-titled.
I really loved Duster playing live, but I mean, I love a few codeine songs, but I found it so much more, I don't know, less convincing than Duster for some reason.
Yeah, I think with codeine, I mean, we had kind of discussed how like slow music can be boring, and I feel like that kind of comes through like if you try to listen to too many of their albums like close together, mm-hmm. like a sort of sameness to it. Like there are some codeine songs that I really like, but at the same time, they also just sounded like their album, which was something that was like kind of not thrilling for me.
Yeah.
But I also found it strange, like the setting of the show, because this was at Olympia, and you have like these bands that I associated with, like Codeine's a little bit larger in terms of sound, I guess, mm-hmm. but like Duster, it seemed really out of place.
Yeah, it was a bit out of place. The whole lineup was a little bit weird as well. After that, the vibe shifted pretty considerably. Yeah, I mean, it was a great show. I was kind of, it was funny because I thought, like, the show was so busy, and then last, like, when I was kind of trying to put together the album release show for our EP in January, I was, like, looking for slowcore bands in Montreal, and I was, like, thinking, like, oh, there are all these people at the Duster show, like,
oh, yeah.
So at least a few of them have had to have, you know, being influenced by what they saw and have made bands that are sort of, I don't know, in that world at least. And I was struggling to find, and I guess there's a few kicking around now, but I was kind of, I'm sure that more will crop up, but I was surprised that it hadn't yielded like a bunch of projects.
I totally agree. I feel like slowcore, post-rock, like whatever you want to call it, like slow, sparse music is pretty like sparing throughout all of Canada. Like for running the show, I've dug mm-hmm. to try and find stuff. And there was, of course, like a lot of post-rock coming out of Canada, but like of the very, like the Godspeed mm-hmm. variety, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've seen, there was probably like an uptick of this stuff like in the 2010s when like the online like this rediscovery of Duster first
mm-hmm,
occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, like, I feel like I haven't seen that so much in Canada, because I feel at that time a lot of people were influenced by like the post-punk scene coming out of Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like if you look just south to like New York State, there are tons of really slow, lots of like bedroom project bands, mm-hmm. but like also actual like multi-piece bands coming out of there that were playing very, like, stuff. Well, I don't know how much I could say was like influenced by like Duster specifically, but there are like obviously tons of people that like rode that wave. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of interesting stuff that came out of there.
Well, that band you sent me, Picastro.
Yeah.
I really, really, really loved that song that you sent me. Thought it was really cool. So I did a bit of did some research into them, and I actually saw that they're still playing shows every once in a while. And I don't know, it seemed like they kind of had a decent run of things, like they were touring Europe a lot, but somehow I never heard of them. But they were really awesome, so I'd love to set something up with them in Toronto sometime, maybe.
Yeah, man, that would be really sick. I see, for me, like, my interest in them was kind of relegated to, I think, their first two albums, which were like Red Your Blues and Metal Cares. And then I mean, it could be something that I just like revisit and then I'll, you know, have some fondness for it, but like their later albums just did nothing for me. So I just never like thought to look for them like playing shows. Mm-hmm. So,
well, that's the thing also. Yeah, I guess I haven't listened to the later stuff. So
yeah,
when you book someone, you're probably going to get their most recent incarnation, not what you want to hear from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's another thing with like when Duster and Codeine play live, it's always a bit strange, I think, when, I don't know, like seeing the Pixies live nowadays or even like, you know, the corpses of the Rolling Stones on stage. Like, it's, there's so much of just like re-inhabiting these old sort of songs and old characters, and I don't know, it's not that, obviously people can still make compelling rock music at an older age, but there's
you said that very politely.
No, I mean, 100%. I'm not being facetious about that. But sometimes there is an impression of like this shell of a past or something.
Yeah. I think it's also strange to see, like, the comment I made earlier about, like, my expectation of what it would be like to see a band like Duster live. Because mm-hmm. it was strange to see them in that setting where, like, this music that I became, like, really intimately familiar with, like, always just being played over, like, my bedroom speakers. Mm-hmm. And then seeing that, like, filled out to a stage, okay, here are the real people. Because I feel like that's also, like, a really different dimension to, like, the, well, I don't know, music discovery has always been like, unless you're discovering a musician by doing it live, you're always divorced. You're like listening to it through some other medium. But it is strange when it comes out of like a particularly music that you imagine to be small. And I feel like that's kind of how I view a lot of like slowcore or like music that gets called slowcore because it's in reality really broad. But like, I don't know, it was strange in that way. And I was also talking to another band recently, like just a two-piece, and they've been on that band called IMY3, and they're on like a really long tour, and they've been playing kind of a variety of different venues, and the ones that they say work best are the small ones. But of course they're a two-piece, so like their music is like exceedingly sparse. So I was kind of wondering from your perspective, like you've played at least a number of shows with the full band, like, is there an ideal venue or like what kind of space is the music suited for, you think?
I like it really, really dark, like in terms of the lighting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I guess we played at Petit Ours a few weeks ago and that went really, really well. And I really enjoyed the almost claustrophobic sense of like just everyone crammed in there, and even the stage was like, you know, the size of this carpet, and so we're all just kind of like, I mean, it did limit us in some ways in the fact that like usually I go kind of do some feedback with my amp and stuff, and we need enough space to move about, so I wasn't able to do that just because everyone was like in the way. But the vibe was really cool. We played a much, much bigger venue in Toronto, which is like this vintage clothing warehouse.
Okay.
That, I don't know about square feet, but I don't know, it could probably hold like 400 or 500 people. And it was in like an old, probably like an old industrial building of some kind. And the ceilings were 25 feet tall or something like that, and we were playing in this like a one of these like skate things. What are they called again? And the word is
a bowl.
It wasn't a bowl. It's like a half pipe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we were playing in a half pipe, and I mean the crowd was really cool. Like a lot of people came out, but sonically. It wasn't really treated at all for reflections and stuff like that. So the sound was a little bit more unpredictable. We had a bit of trouble hearing ourselves on stage. It was a really awesome show. But I guess like the small intimate venues are really cool to play. I'm looking forward to playing at Casa on June 6th, which I played there many times before with this band and other things, but it's always a good experience. And then, yeah, Soterania is also really great. All these venues in that family are generally a pretty good bet, and they usually have good sound people, so
yeah.
That's a pretty essential element, is getting someone who can set the levels right and you can trust.
Yeah. One thing that I've been curious about, like, because Petit Ours is like the smallest of all of these. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, it was formerly Ursa and had been around a while, but I've been curious whether there'd be like a, I mean, we're talking about like the influence of bands like Duster, and then also when you have like the physical landscape of noise complaints being on the rise, mm-hmm. and like the death of venues, the death of like DIY venues and that sort of thing, and like part of the issue being noise. I've been really curious if there would be like a resurgence of quiet music in the wake of that. I don't feel like it's happened yet.
I mean, that just sounds kind of sad, honestly.
Yeah, because like you don't want to come, like the reason people make music is not because they're physically constrained, they're making it because they want to make it. But I'd be curious if there would be like some shift towards,
I don't know. I guess it kind of reminds me of like doing like a silent disco or something where everyone's just like dancing with their headphones on or something. I don't know. For me, it being loud is kind of very essential part of it. I mean, not, you know, painfully loud necessarily, but like I've been in some people's rehearsal spaces and stuff and they're rehearsing like four times as loud as we're rehearsing, but I don't know, interesting idea. I just think it's probably a little less compelling if everyone's quiet, but then again, I mean, people go to see unamplified classical music all the time, but those people are projecting their voices and using their instruments in a very, I guess also those settings are usually very carefully designed to amplify the noise as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a big tragedy about all the venues closing. I mean, every time I drive past Divan Orange, what used to be Divan Orange on Saint-Laurent, it's kind of now just another clothing store. And then there's a really great venue on Saint-Laurent, Saint-Viateur, right on the corner there. What was it called? Kajibi. And it was like a cafe, like run by a collective or something. And you could just book it for super, super cheap. And they would like feed you dinner and stuff every time you played. I'm sure they like probably lost money on feeding these people dinner, because I played there a long, long time ago, but a lot of these places are just getting wiped out by their noise complaints, but also just like rising real estate prices and rising rents. And so, but I mean, there's still a lot of stuff going on in Montreal in terms of venues. I guess I used to really be into the techno scene here, like very heavily in that scene from like 2014, 2015 or so until like 2020. And I feel like that has experienced a more severe, like all these venues have been exterminated.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, there was this building on Durocher and Vaubien, and there'd be like all these lofts and basement units, and there'd be like three raves going on at the same time every weekend, every Friday, Saturday. And now there's like a condo right next to it, and the landlords like kind of renovated everyone, and that's kind of been a pattern. So I feel like just the infrastructure for like rock music, like shows at little places like Casa and stuff like that, it's kind of been a more resilient thing compared to like big spaces where you can play extremely loud techno until like 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
Which it's sort of a more unique set of demands.
I feel like with that too, there's a different like critical mass that you need to reach for that to be, like in terms of the number of people and the number of shows going on, maybe. I mean, that's something that I'm totally outside of, but at the same time, I can imagine like you need to be able to draw like
a sufficiently large crowd. For sure. Yeah, I mean, it's way more about like there's like a people power element to it. Like the whole thing, I mean, any show, it's the, you know, dialogue between the performer and the audience to a certain extent, but yeah, if it's like an underground techno rave or something, it's really the audience is really kind of fueling that, and it doesn't really work if you've got like 25 people there compared to like, you know, a show with some more like intimate you know guitar based music can really work with a smaller crowd, but if you show up to like a rave and it's like this little stragglers and
yeah,
you kind of want it to be a mass movement type of experience, which it really was for a long time here. And I'm there is still stuff happening. I'm kind of not as clued into the scene, but it's definitely not anything like it was.
I eavesdropped on like an interview a while ago. I think it got published in some magazine that I forget the name of, but someone interviewing someone else who organizes a bunch of these, and the slow kind of like exodus of the spaces from, I think, from the island itself, or like them moving further and further away, and then having to like bus people to these things, and also like the sort of different like clashes of like, I guess in some ways not quite selecting the crowd that would show up, but like the, when you have like different groups of people and who goes to what shows and these things like being sort of separate from each other. It was interesting, but it was also like, it also had all the characteristics of like the loss of DIY spaces all over. Yeah, it was definitely interesting to hear someone from outside of all of that, and like the degree to which people would go to like make it to one of these things, or all of the effort that would go into running one of these spaces. Like, it's an insane amount of work.
Oh, it's an extremely thankless task.
Yeah,
like just generally DIY concert stuff, like if you're the people doing the stuff, like the actual logistics, especially if they're not even playing that night or something, it's like it's a kind of a masochistic thing. Like, you're just putting your money up, you know, I mean, some people make some money with it, but like you're putting your money up and you're very likely to lose money, and you're likely to potentially get, you know, harassed or fined by cops, and then you've got like audience safety stuff, like, oh, like, you know, people are gonna be intoxicated, and what if someone falls down the stairs, or there's some sort of security incident, you need to make sure that the crowd is safe, and then if it's not, then it could be blamed on you. So there's just so many things that could go wrong, I guess. It's tough.
Thank you.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show is Past Tense, and the last song that played was Sorry by Alex G off of DSU. And before that was an interview that I did, well, part one of four of an interview that I did with Marcus Stahl of Golden Star, which is a local Montreal band that I really, really like. So the part two of four will play in the next half hour, and then there will be some more music from Golden Star and a couple other songs. So keep listening for that.